Blog Talk Radio.
Family, we're coming to you live as we do every Monday at this time. Thanks for listening and being part of the radio voice of Eastern Airlines. If you would like to participate in our show, you can do so by listening on your computer at www.repa.com. Go to the radio show icon and click on there. Or if you would prefer, you can call into our show at area code 213-816-1611. And let me repeat that number. That's area code 213-816-1611. Before we go on to the program we planned for tonight, the hosts of the Eastern Radio Show would like to pause and offer our silent prayers and thoughts to those who lost their lives in the tragic shootings in Orlando, Florida. We had scheduled this for last week, but as many of you know, we had technical problems and were unable to broadcast. So tonight, for the 49 souls who lost their lives and the 53 who were seriously injured, we take pause in our hearts for the families and friends of the victims and to this great nation that has been wounded deeply. Thank you. We'll forego the usual remarks and go into our program or take your personal thoughts about these recent. Now let's get the flight 272 into the air. Chuck?
Eastern flight 272, are you ready for takeoff?
That's affirmative, Miami. Eastern 272 is ready to go on 27 left.
Okay, Eastern Flight 27 left. The winds are from the east at 5 knots, and you're cleared for takeoff.
Roger, Miami Eastern. 272 is on the road.
Tonight is open mic, meaning whatever is on your mind, we want to hear about it. To stimulate your thoughts, we have a few topics that have come up since our last show, which, as you recall, was about Eastern Airlines Hunt Club, told by Captain Jim Holder, around the campfire. We learned last week that two explorers came down from Mount Illimani in Bolivia with reports and photos of what is reported to be Eastern Flight 980. It was covered by a number of news sources, and most of the Eastern family probably read the accounting on the two men's website. We would love to hear your thoughts about the report, about the two black boxes that had been found, what should be done with them, the information that is recorded on them. I personally think they should be brought back to the United States and brought through our system. What do you think? Anybody out there?
Well, yeah, since we have gone through a tragic month so far this month in June, I just hope we don't have, I hope we have a smooth sailing remaining days in this month. But first of all, Muhammad Ali passed away. And then, of course, we learned of the tragedy in Orlando. So Muhammad Ali, it was... I'd like to start discussion there if you guys want to comment on it. And I do think we have some information from folks that have sent email to us, and we'll read those in just a minute or two. But my thoughts are is that it was, first of all, then I think the people that I talked to, just about everyone, saw the Eastern aircraft, and I got several comments, emails to the radio show about how proud they were to see an Eastern airplane, especially that took the role of providing transportation from Arizona to Louisville, Kentucky, with the body of Muhammad Ali. Any comments? Everyone saw that photograph and or a photo or on the internet. I don't know whether it ever reached the internet and saw any live coverage of the aircraft landing or whatever. But any comments on that, the eastern part?
I did see one of the news, this Chuck. I did see on one of the news that they showed it taxiing in. I don't think I saw it actually leaving, but I did see some stills on the internet of it showing as lifted off the ground. I don't know,
Beverly,
if anybody.
Yeah, Beverly, I think, did you not ask Susan about, no, this was another matter, I think, about asking how they got the charter for that flight?
Yes, I did. But she didn't offer any information. She says that was, you know, confidential for the client. So I didn't get anything out of her. I thought maybe I would, but I thought it was great publicity.
Do you think, since I'll be meeting with her Friday and Ed Weigel to make a presentation down in Miami, do you think I ought to ask her how they got that
sure.
charter?
Yeah. I'd like to know if they went, if they came to Eastern to do it because of his history with Eastern, or whether Eastern went to them, or whether there was an agent involved that, you know, they worked with. I don't know. It'd be interesting to find out, and I don't know that that would really hurt client confidentiality.
Okay. I'll just put press on my fedora in the band there. I'll put the little card that says press and walk in there saying, say, I need to know this. I'm a news reporter.
Right.
You should take your ID badge, you know, from the reunion and put / press and then put it where on your jacket there.
I never did have Ali on any of my flights. Steve, did you ever have him on a flight?
I don't remember having him on a flight, no.
I think you had an experience with Ali, though, didn't you, on... maybe it was someone else I was talking with that could have been a flight attendant, I guess. But we'll hear some flight attendant comments as well. And then shortly after that, we had the tragedy in Orlando. And we're still hearing more and more. It's coming out, the full story about what happened. And... any comments about that?
Well, I know today they put the transcripts out of the phone call conversation that the shooter had with the police, and it's very, of course, it's very despondent to hear somebody talk this way. But you realize his thinking. Obviously, it's distorted as far as I'm concerned, but you can realize his thinking about what he was going on in his mind. Of course, somebody of this nature that's done this horrific thing, is, I personally don't think they're in their right mind. What does anybody else think?
Well, Norma Jean, you've got a sidebar here about Chick-fil-A. Can you tell us about that, Norma Jean?
Am I on the script?
You're on there, yes, down at the bottom, and it talks about Chick-fil-A, which I think you sent me a copy of that.
Oh, I just sent you an email. I did not open up the, oh, dear, I didn't know.
Oh, okay. Well,
sorry.
If I might read it, this is what Norma Jean sent me, is that Chick-fil-A has made national news for its owner's stance on gay marriage. And any time they do something, as we all know, even remotely non-politically correct PC, their supposed slip-up goes viral. Hashtags pop up all over the place. So why is it that what they have done in the wake of the Orlando nightclub shooting hasn't received a single mention on the mainstream news outlets? It's probably because people like New York City mayor might have to eat crow instead of chicken. The mayor said that
we lost you, Neil.
Yeah, we lost you, Neil.
George, are you still there?
I'm here. I'm here, Chuck.
Goes.
He's going to call back in. Can you left off?
Back in.
Okay. Can you see where he left off, George? Not so yesterday?
No, I didn't. I couldn't really understand anything that he said, Chuck.
All right. Hang on a little minute. Not so yesterday, in a shocking move, Orlando location at the University and Rouse Road quietly fired up its grill on Sunday. The chain is notorious for not being open ever. Let me see if I can pick up on this. On the Sabbath, the employees cooked up hundreds of their chicken sandwiches. They brewed dozens and gallons of sweet tea. Then, instead of making a single dime and without prompt and circumstance, they created the product of their labor on the One Blood Donation Center. The food and drinks were handed out free of charge to all the people who had lined up to donate blood. So far, the only mention of this incident has been from individuals on Facebook. They have posted photographs thanking the restaurant for their thoughtfulness and generosity. But wait, those people were waiting to give blood to victims that were mostly gay people. Doesn't Chick-fil-A hate good gay company? What's up when we keep being told? Turn out that while the founders definitely didn't approve of that choice of lifestyle, they believe in compassion. Who knew? A bunch of people claiming to be Christians care about others even when they don't agree with them. This group took time out of their schedules to volunteer to help those who were also trying to do their part. On top of that, the franchise location on Wells Road in Orange Park is even offering coupons for a free frosted lemonade to anyone who donates blood when the One Blood Mobile unit is there at their store on June 14th. In times like this, it's comforting to share a good story about caring individuals and the company they work for. So much for Chick-fil-A's that became a thing. So on that note, I think I'll go and grab a sweet tea. Steve?
Well,
hey,
listeners.
Hey, guys, Steve, I'm back with you. I'm back with you, but I'm on the cell phone because our technical problems, folks, if you're listening to us, I hope you are. We have many listeners every Monday. But we've had technical problems with Skype, and we did a direct connect, and I thought we would be okay for tonight, but apparently we're still having problems. So I'm on my cell phone, just like most everyone listening to the show that calls in. Can you guys hear me loud and clear?
Yes, sir.
I got you loud and clear.
Okay, well, Steve, would you like to introduce your grandson?
Yes, listeners, my grandson, Andrew Garrett, or as the family calls him, Drew, wrote this article, and we would like to present it in this time of the uncertainty, sorrow, and grief. It is very appropriate to the times we live in. Drew lives in Greenville, South Carolina, and works for Costco. He is a graduate of Clemson University, and he's 27 years old and is the eldest child of my daughter, Gay, who has been a guest host on this show several times. And Drew has written an article which I am so impressed with, and I have sent it to Neil, and he has agreed to read the article. Neil?
Okay, fine. Thank you so much, Steve. Andrew titles the article that he wrote, American Apathy, Anger, and Admonishment. And it's it reads, when someone defines another person as an American, what does that entail? A simple question that possesses a myriad of answers, more than likely all of them correct as well. When someone looks at our history and the successes, failures, challenges, and triumphs of our country, there is always one constant, the ideals of the founding members of our nation. The founding fathers left us with very specific explanations of the principles they intended every future American to be able to hold to as their common denominator in times of the deepest and darkest struggles. They gave us liberty, freedom, and guarantees of basic human rights, all included and protected in the Constitution, written some 330 years ago. Since that time, much has changed in our country, some would say for the better, and some for the worse. Reflecting on where we are now, we must ask ourselves the simple question, what unifying quality do we share as Americans today? The painful, terrible, and despicable events that occurred this past week in Orlando should serve as a stark reminder that we are a nation of people with different values and beliefs, different preference and different views, and that difference should be a strength rather than the weakness it is today. So far, 49 American lives were stolen from us that we can never gain back. 50-plus American people who were living their own life the way that they wanted to towards the future they decided they wanted, and all of that possible because of the freedoms we are guaranteed as basic human rights. All of those people and their aspirations were snuffed as a result of one man's decision. This tragedy has become the focal point of a sharp rift of our nation. Instead of rallying around the victims and their loved ones to give and gain support and love, we have turned their deaths into a political, ideological shouting match. We should be outraged and ashamed of ourselves at the complete lack of respect for our fallen brothers and sisters. Before their spilled blood had dried, there were fingers being pointed, accusations made, and politics played. A man went to a gay bar and opened up fire on innocent civilians, and people died. This murderer proclaimed loyalty to ISI, who then praised his actions and claimed him as a fighter. He used firearms to commit the murders, a rifle and a handgun. He was investigated and later cleared by the FBI and was not on any current watch list at the time he purchased the weapons. He killed people for who they were because of who he was, what he thought, what he believed, and what he hated. The end result was an attack on the lives of Americans, all Americans. How did we choose to respond? Surely with respect and lamentation for the deceased is the only appropriate response. What country would be so cold as to politicize a mass murderer in order to push their policies or beliefs against fellow countrymen? The sitting president of the United States of America addressed the nation after the atrocities of Orlando. Historically speaking, a response from the president after a tragedy is to mourn the loss, lead the nation, quell the fear, and reignite hope in our principles. What occurred was a speech in which we saw our president speak for roughly 3 minutes and 32 seconds before turning the conversation away from the victims and to a political agenda. This was followed by elected representatives of both parties using this loss of life to accuse the other side of the aisle with the fault for the murders. Then the calls for action by threatening the strength of our constitutionally protected rights by the ones we trusted to represent us. Our source of news in the nation is blatantly cherry-picking statistics, misleading headlines, and doing the American people a disservice by adding flames to the fire, all to increase viewership and support political agendas. Even with all these things that have occurred, the most saddening and worrisome response to come from this tragedy is not from the government, its officials, or the media. The most disappointing reaction to all of this is the reaction of the American people. We have turned against ourselves to a level of opposition not seen since the American Civil War. What is worse is we seem not to even care. We have become a nation so polarized by politics that we have shifted to viewpoints and proposals that simultaneously threaten the First, Second, Third, Fourth, and Fifth Amendments, documents created by the people to protect our rights from government overreach. We have effectively decided that four out of the first five amendments that collectively serve as a foundation of American identity are no longer necessary because we are scared. Some are arguing that we should allow the government to disregard our privacy and right to be free from any unreasonable search or seizure. Probable cause is a thing of the past as long as we advocate for an arbitrary list compiled by the government of which we know not the qualifications, ramifications, or names on the list in the first place. Those placed on the list are not given any opportunity to appeal, and probable cause was never established. Somehow we are okay with that list because it makes us feel safer. It's a shame they wasted all that ink writing the Constitution and all the American lives fighting for it, only to be willingly threatened by the people it was created to protect. We, the people, need to rise up and defend our guaranteed rights as citizens rather than supporting government officials to further threaten them. We need to regain our voice in the government founded to govern for the people, not over them. We need to realize that we are destroying our Constitution by supporting measures created by the very people it protects us from. We have shifted the focus to terror as a new threat and decided that any pesky amendment in the way is an acceptable casualty of war. We are fighting terrorism because those people hate us, hate our beliefs, hate our government, and hate our freedom. The most tragically ironic part of all of this is that we are the biggest allies in supporting those who use terror against us. We have become apathetic with our government and angry at each other. We are openly fighting and threatening each other, and our rights are caught in the crossfire. How can anyone argue that our response to Orlando shows anything other than the successful result of terror against us? We are so afraid of X, Y, and Z that we don't care what it takes to make it go away. We are our own domestic agents of terror so long as we decide to stay polarized without any willingness to work together for solutions. How do we heal from this? What could possibly help the people of this country in a scenario where people hate each other simply because of the party they vote for? How is it that we have become okay with senators and congressmen representing us for 50 years straight? Why are we allowing people to spend an entire career in a position of power and when challenged will lie, cheat, steal, and break laws just to keep that power? The only way for our country to rise out of this mess that we're in is for the citizens of the country to step up and serve their fellow countrymen. We need people in government that will willingly work together in order to promote the interests of the American people. The people need to find their voice again. That will not happen on accident. Until we realize that we are missing a justice on the Supreme Court because one party doesn't like the other, nothing will change. Until we stand up and demand to end the notion that we should accept a trade agreement we aren't allowed to see, nothing will change. Until we stop accusing each other of being the problem, we will not begin to discover the solution. The apathy of American involvement into the politicians we elect is, at the very least, a direct result of the state of our nation today. If we allow the deaths in Orlando to justify the weakening of the Constitution, then we have forfeited to terrorism and will never recover. The source of strength of this great country is the people that are found within it. Our identity as Americans is rooted in our constitutional rights, never forsake them. And that was written by the grandson of Steve Thompson. And thank you very much, Steve, for sending that to us here at the radio show. And I wish that Andrew was here to deliver this beautiful article, and I hope he sent it to a lot of newspapers, because it should really be repeated in the media. It's a beautiful article, and it rings true to point.
Yes, thank you, Neil, and good job of reading that. That was just super.
Well,
excuse me, that should be in every newspaper in the U.S.
I think so, too. And I don't know, we do have someone that knows how to get it out there. George Chen, are you still with us, George?
I'm here.
Yeah, I'd like to suggest that this be sent. You know, I told Steve when it was sent to me, I said, Steve, I don't know whether to hold off on this article until July 4th because it's applicable to that date as well as to the tragedy in Orlando. Because we have a lot of changes that have to be done.
Well, I can't disagree with that, Neil, but, you know, the question is, where do you start and who does it start with? It's gotten so out of hand, especially during the last 8 years, that it's really descended into outright craziness.
You know, it has for 5 years now, over 5 years, we have tried to stay away from politics. But events, the tragic, horrific event that happened in Orlando, it just begs to be delivered on the radio by whatever means. And even though we're a little kitchen table radio show here, I don't think it's too far from, it's politics. But I think Andrew stated it in such a beautiful way. And tying it all together with our government and our people, and so I just think it really ought to be in all the newspapers.
Yes, I am getting it out to many newspapers.
Good, good, good.
How are you doing that, Steve?
just sending it to the editors of
editors.
Various papers.
Okay. That's what I was thinking.
If you've got a better,
our...
a better idea, please let me know.
Mm-hmm. Well, we do have that famous author on our show. So.
Yes, I was thinking about him also.
He can contact us on Hollywood.
Well, if we could get someone like Alexander Sporby, who used to be the voice of Eastern Airlines, to read that, I think it would carry well over the airwaves, and not from a raggedy old voice like mine, but it really flows so well, and it gives such a message. So thank Andrew for us, Steve.
I will pass that along.
Now, we do have some information we'd like to tell you about. About 3 weeks ago, Jim Hart lost his wife, Trudy, and she passed away up at Martha's Vineyard, where they go every year, and they're there several months during the summertime. And Trudy has been ill for a few years now, and Jim called us about 3 weeks ago and told us about her passing, and so we offer our condolences to Jim Hart and his family. And just recently, this past week, Dorothy Gagnon, one of our hosts that is regularly with us and is doing so great a job of helping us put the reunion together again for September, and is also the new editor of EARA Kit newspaper. She lost her brother, Frank Montecalvo, and Frank lived in the villages, and he went up to spend his last days in the Massachusetts area, and New Hampshire, I think, is where the family's from. And so she and Don Gagnon, who was an employee with Eastern for many, many years, and also is one of our hosts, left to go up there, I think it was Friday. And so we want to offer our thoughts and prayers to she and her family. And she'll be coming back to Boynton Beach, I think. Got plans to meet her Wednesday, this coming Wednesday. So that's the news here. That I have, and as far as Muhammad Ali, Chuck, can you give us a little bit about?
I sure can. Also, this month, we learned the passing of heavyweight champion Muhammad Ali. We would like to hear from anyone if meeting him on a flight or personal knowledge of the man, but I'd like to give you a short bio. Muhammad Ali was born Cassius Marcellus Clay Jr., January 17, 1942. He passed away June 3, 2016. He was American Olympic, a professional boxer, and an activist. He was widely regarded as one of the most significant and celebrated sports figures of the 20th century. From early in his career, Ali knew as an aspiring, controversial, and polarized figure both inside and outside the ring. Ali was regarded as one of the greatest boxers of all time by boxing commentators and historians. Ring Magazine, a prominent boxing magazine, named him number one in 1998, ranking the greatest heavyweight from all eras. The Associated Press voted Ali the number one heavyweight of the 20th century in 1999. In December 2007, ESPN listed Ali second in its choice of the greatest heavyweights of all time, behind Joe Louis. Ali was named the second greatest pound-for-pound fighter in boxing history by ESPN, behind only welterweight and middleweight great Sugar Ray Robinson. Clay made his professional debut on October the 29th, 1960, winning six-round decision over Tony Hunsucker. From then until the end, 1963, it was when he retired from boxing. Neil?
Well, here are a few emails that we received, and Beverly, would you read it for us?
Sure, Neil. Ali flew a lot on EAL, and there are many stories to tell. This is a memory from Sandy Abinanti, an Eastern flight attendant from 1966 to 87, based in Miami, Boston, and Washington. She writes, I'm delighted to share these lighthearted but special memories of Muhammad Ali. It has been such a long time ago that I don't remember the year or which flight. It was likely the late 70s or early 80s. He was traveling with his wife. I was the senior flight attendant and serving in first class where they were sitting. He was seated in the aisle seat. It was one of those very busy dinner flights. In the middle of the service, one of the flight attendants working in coach stopped me and put a small piece of paper in my hand. I recall that she was very new, young, and attractive. On looking at the piece of paper, I could see that it was her name and phone number. With that, she said, could you please give this to Muhammad Ali? I was a bit surprised by this request, and being the stuffy old flight attendant that I probably was, I had to tell her no. I had a brief vision of giving it to him and his wife catching it and thinking it was my name and phone number. In any event, it wasn't happening. I was never sure if at some point during the flight she didn't find a way to give it to him. As I said, it was a very busy flight, and I did get a glimpse of her being in the first class cabin at one point. I had told her that it would be inappropriate, but she was quite infatuated and seemed very determined. With a presence like Muhammad Ali, who could blame her? It was his stature and handsomeness, but also to me it was his friendly and mild manner that was so endearing. I remember thinking what a contrast to this gentle nature to the public persona I had known all those years before. It left a lasting impression on me that someone who truly was the greatest could be so humble. I am just one more person of many saddened by his passing. God bless Muhammad Ali. An Atlanta flight attendant, Cynthia Braun, shared this memory. I had Ali as a passenger on a red-eye flight from Houston to Atlanta exactly 1 week after having Joe Frazier on the same flight. Both men were seated in coach, and since we were nearly empty, we moved both men to first class. Frazier was very pleasant and gave each of us a signed photograph, but Ali entertained us the whole trip. He asked each of us a little bit about ourselves, then proceeded to make up a limerick about every girl. They were hilarious. Then he talked to us a little about his life. Occasionally, a coach passenger came up and asked if he could speak to the champ. The first time, we politely told the passenger he was trying to relax and we would rather not bother him, but Ali would have none of it. He spoke for a while with each one who came and met him, signed autographs without ever acting the least bit bothered or disturbed. He was kind and soft-spoken and loved his fans. Many years later, long after I quit flying, I ran into this giant of a man in the airport in Charlotte. You could tell his disease had taken a toll on his once strong, athletic body. I walked up to him and told him how wonderful he looked. Then she reminded him of the flight that they shared so long ago. I said he couldn't possibly remember me, but that I would never forget that magical evening. Without missing, he said, of course he remembered me. I was the one in the blue dress. We had a good laugh, and he left me with another magical moment. I will never forget him or my two special encounters with him. God rest his sweet soul. And lastly, an email from Atlanta flight attendant Judy Benedict said, hey, Neil, hope things are going well with you. Saw the Eastern plane on the news today that was bringing Ali back. OMG, it looked beautiful. Will always be in my heart. Neil?
Well, great comments from the flight attendants who got to meet personalities like Muhammad and other celebrities, where we, as pilots, we just sat up there in the front and kind of minded our business, and we're bored most of the time until something happened and woke us up. or either we ran up coffee and we hit this flight attendant. Back in the day, it was stewardess call button and asked for coffee, more coffee, which I'm sure the flight attendants hated every time we asked for coffee.
Hey, but Neil, you know, we used to do a lot of charter work at Eastern, and being a big Mets fan, I always used to bid the Mets charters. And, in fact, I got a few autographed baseballs for my son by doing that. And back then, you know, on the charters, we used to let him up in the cockpit all the time. And I sat up there, I spoke with Davey Johnson, a few of the other Mets baseball players. It was, we did a lot of the Jets charters also. You know, it was just, I don't know, to me, I always bid them because they were, you know, it was a lot of fun. It was a lot more relaxed, and, like, we used to leave the cockpit door open and everything. It was really nice.
You know, the earliest celebrity, I guess he was a celebrity to me, he was, but, and I tell people that I had Walter Lippmann on my flight one time, and people say, Walter who? And no one knows who the heck he was, but at the time he was a great columnist. I don't know whether for New York Times or whatever, but he was the predominant news person, kind of like what Charles Krauthammer is today. But he was, and I think all of us had some celebrities that we remember flying, and it was great. And I think a lot of these people really enjoyed flying on the Eastern Airlines. And I noticed one comment that came in over the Eastern Facebook that Greta Van Susteren, who is an anchor on Fox News, took a flight and was looking out the window when the Eastern airplane taxied by. And she said, oh, my God, I didn't know Eastern Airlines is in the air again. You know? So taking a lot of people by surprise. Yes.
I say still. It's amazing a year now. I thought by now, I just hit the button. I thought by now people would know, but they're still discovering that Eastern's back.
Yeah,
sure. They are. And it's really great. It really is that that they're doing so well. And I want to go down and present Ed Weigel with a beautiful picture that Captain Jerry Frost, puts together some of the most beautiful aircraft in the air of the Eastern Fleet. And he did the front cover for the book that I had the privilege of editing, Many Stories, and it's The Wings of Many. And on that cover was the fleet of all Eastern airplanes over flying in formation, you might say, over Atlanta-Hartsfield Airport. And I just thought it would be a good idea if I could ask Jerry to take the new Boeing 737-800 and put it right in the middle of that picture and kind of surround all the other airplanes and kind of highlight the fact that, hey, there's a new boy on the block or a new airplane in the air, and it's the new Eastern. So he did a beautiful job of composing that picture, and I intend to go down and present that this Friday, and we'll ask Ed to come on our show again as soon as possible because we want to hear some of the exciting news about the new Eastern. And things are really happening now since they have gotten out of the charter phase, although they are still requested to do a lot of charter work. But they now have a scheduled carrier certificate that they can start offering scheduled operations. And I think the charter for 1 year was necessary by the FAA before they finally got a scheduled certificate in the 121, which I think the first flight that they schedule was from Miami to Guyana, and they're operating that, I believe it's daily. But we'll find out more information as to some of the other destinations that will be coming online with Eastern, the new Eastern. And we're hoping that he'll be at our reunion again, he and Susan, and a lot of other new members of our new folks of the new Eastern. We got the message of a new captain. for the new Eastern, and he was so excited that he had finally made captain with Eastern Airlines and on Facebook. And if you follow Facebook, folks, there are a lot of pictures, beautiful pictures of the Eastern aircraft. Someone by the name of Manny Chavo is tracking all of this, and I've got about 600 of his pictures now. I put them all in a folder on my computer, and different locations, and people are seeing Eastern again. So I think it's going to be a real contender here when they get more airplanes added to their fleet. So it's about time that we ask Ed Weagle to come back on the show and share what's happening with the new Eastern Airlines. Any thoughts, folks? How many seconds do we get of dead air time?
Well, I have another
dead
quick...
air time is like running out of ink with the newspaper.
Well, I have another quick charter story for you, Neil, if you have a moment.
We do.
Okay, well, we used to charter for the New York Jets also, beside when they were playing also in Flushing there, and we used to charter out of LaGuardia all the time. So, of course, Broadway Joe Namath was the quarterback back then for the Jets, and I was flying a charter trip with Broadway Joe, and you know, I was pretty young, and he had that I guess it was like a club in New York at the time, Bachelor's 3 or something. So I told him, I said, you know, I wouldn't mind going there with my wife, but you know, we have to probably wait online all night because the place was so popular, and maybe not even be able to get in. So Broadway Joe handed me a card. He said, no, he said, you just show up at the door whenever you want to go there and give this to one of the guys and you'll come right in. And we did, and it was great. I mean, we had a really good time that night too.
Yeah. Charter flights are always, that was always my favorite, I'm sure. George and Steve, you both had a lot of charters with Eastern. I did.
Yep.
As a matter of fact, when I first checked out, they gave me charter flights and into airports, and here I was still shaking in the knees every time I landed. And they had me going into airports like Albany, New York on a dark, stormy night with rain. I'll never forget that flight. And so at any rate, charters were a lot of fun. They really were.
Yep, they really were.
Yeah. Anything else on the minds of Norma Jean? Let's see. We've got all sorts of people on our board here. So, air code 954, where is that?
That's Lauderdale.
That's Lauderdale. That's, who is that? Is that you, Beverly? I mean, not, that's Norma Jean?
Yes. I have a brother in Lauderdale. He's the one I stayed with at the reunion last year.
Okay. Norma Jean, I want to thank you also. This is Norma Jean Borger, and she sent me an article. I received it today, Norma Jean, and it's quite an article about Normandy. So you guys went over to France over there, and you went through that. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
It was the last stop on the cruise from Lauderdale. It was a repositioning cruise, so they're about half price. Otherwise, Norma Jean couldn't be going. So,
okay.
But it was wonderful. We did go to the Normandy. That's how my friend enticed me to get on that cruise ship, because I had not been to the American Cemetery nor Bermuda out of all the other stops. So, but it was, they said the weather was like the same as D-Day. We could barely stand up. We had to hang on to something. Also,
wow.
They had the yellow tape everywhere. We couldn't walk on the grass or anything because they were expecting all of the heads of state within the next 30 days. So, well, we were very limited. We did go through the museum, and that was, I wanted to make a copy, which I did, and I sent to you, And I know it was too late for this year, but I thought you can hang on to it for next year.
Absolutely, yeah. Very good material there, and I will do that that time of year. Thank you so much. How did you feel, I mean, emotionally, Stan? What were your thoughts, Norma Jean? I mean, it must be, I don't know.
Oh, you still get goosebumps.
Yeah, that's it, yeah.
But all I knew about was Omaha Beach, and we didn't know anything about, I never heard, I don't know why. Maybe I'm just dumb. I don't know. But anyway, but all of the other beaches, Juneau and Gold Beach, yeah. All the others that Canada and the UK landed on, I had mm-hmm. we had no knowledge of that until we got over there. And the craters
yeah.
are still there. Of course, it's undisturbed.
Well, I hope we have some of our representatives of government. In the future to attend. I'd like to see it every year that we have a representative as high as, you know, the office of the President of the United States being there. And so many past presidents have attended at least one in their term of office. But I don't know. Thank you very much, and I'll keep that for next year. We'll put it in our files. And oh, by the way, I want to talk a little bit about Thursdays. We have a show we call From the Eastern Files. Boy, it sounds like a television series, From the Eastern Files. And every Thursday, except this coming Thursday, she made a remark on our website, but this coming Thursday we will do a show. It's 30 minutes in duration. It has no call-ins. It's not a talk show. But we're reading a little bit about history of Eastern and also about stories and memories that have been sent or either printed in books about Eastern all the way back to the Mayo Wing days. So that's going to be available at 3 o'clock every Thursday. Except this coming Thursday, when I'll be down in Miami and hopefully meeting with the president of the New Eastern Airlines. So keep that in mind, and it's called the Eastern Files, From the Eastern Files. So that's what it's about. So
thank you, and I apologize. I did not know that I had a script to read. I got your message, but anyway, I'm sorry that I messed up with that. I did not realize it. I didn't open it up. So,
well, we don't know what to expect from one program to the other, kind of like the technicalities we have tonight. And the last week we had the technicality that we didn't even have a show. So we're running into some problems here with Blog Talk Radio, who provides us with the means of doing this show for the last 5 years and over 5 years. We're about almost 5.5 years now, and we've been blessed with having 273 shows now. 272. This is our 272nd broadcast, and they're still all available. Go back, and we've had some good times and some funny times. Technically embarrassing times, but that's all right. We're not a very we can take embarrassment. That's what I'm trying to say, because after all, this is kitchen table radio. So
I'd like to know how to help put Andrew's letter or his
Steve, what do you think? Steve, your grandson, how old is Andrew now, Steve?
He's 27.
27. Well,
yes.
I'll tell you what.
Who was this asking about helping?
It's Norma Jean.
Norma Jean, how can I get in touch with you?
I don't know who all is listening to this. He said about 1,000 people sometimes. Why don't you get my email from Captain Neal?
I'll do that.
Yeah, I'll do that, and I'll send it to you, and that way, and as a matter of fact, if any of you guys, you've got the script that I read tonight, his article, and it's so professionally read, written, rather, that, by golly, if Steve doesn't mind, I don't know whether we have to get the blessing of Andrew as to how we send this and make it available to the media. What's your thoughts, Steve, about whether it's okay to send it out to some newspapers?
Yeah, he is eager for that.
Okay,
he welcomes that.
Well, we'll plug that, especially right now during July 4th. It's a good article for July 4th when we celebrate the freedom that we have in this great country that we have.
I'll get your email, Norma Jean, and I will be in touch.
Thank you. I didn't used
Thank
to be
you.
So careful, but in my old age, I think sometimes sometimes I'm careless about that.
I understand.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That happens, doesn't it? Especially when you get above 50.
You mean to tell us above 50?
Yeah, talking to my son this Father's Day, and he called me, and he's 57, and I'm sitting here telling him, you know, you can qualify for a community, an adult community like the one that Dad lives in, which is 55 or older. Now, and it's just amazing that here you are talking to someone that's already complaining about, oh, you know, I got bursitis in this right shoulder here, and my knees are hurting, and so forth. And I said, Scott, you're too young. But then again, I think about 57. That's not too young.
So, not young here.
Yeah, there you go. A couple of announcements before we sign off tonight. You know, LEPA is having its convention in Asheville, North Carolina, first week of September. And if you want to find out all the details of the LEPA convention, stop by and say hello to a lot of the Eastern people there at the Asheville. I forgot the name of the hotel they're holding it, but you can find that out by going to repaonline.com, and you'll see the complete package there that they have for September at that convention. And of course, we have a convention also, which we call the Second Annual Eastern Pioneers Reunion, and that will be held in Fort Lauderdale. Just as a reminder, we're getting registrations in now. We're accepting those and not accepting them. We ask you, please, to send in your reservations and your meal requests, because and we have had many bookings at the Embassy Suite, where we will have it there on 17th Street in Fort Lauderdale. So by all means, if you had a class and two or more people, think about the possibility of scheduling your class reunion. Call some of the folks that were in your hire date class and say, hey, let's meet down in Fort Lauderdale and have fun with the other Eastern folks, and we'll give you a table so you can sit with your classmates and talk about the old days, you know, and reservations and maintenance and in-flight service and flight operations and whatever. So that's going to be in September 23rd and 24th. Got a great programs line up for you also. And we'll be talking and sending information about that in the coming weeks. And let's see, we've already talked about from the Eastern Files, and I've got a young lady right here, sitting here looking at me, and she is going to be in the fourth grade this coming year, and she's the daughter of Emery Martinelli, and Emery and I are associated here in real estate here in the office, and Emery is my big support, and He came in a little bit late because when we had the difficulty with the communications there, he would have helped me through that, but I picked up the cell phone and solved the problem. But Melissa is with us, and she wants just to say hello. I want to give her, she's never been on radio before, I don't think. So this young lady is in the fourth grade, and she wants to say hello. And Melissa, what do you got to say to folks all around the world?
I wrote a list of all the things. So bonjour, hola, salam, all the people. We are all diverse people. My name is Melissa. I was born in Europe. I moved to Jacksonville, Florida when I was three. Now I live in the USA capital. I am visiting with my dad. 10-hour drive. I have a cat named Baby. Okay, I have two things to tell. Muhammad Ali died when he was so old, but he died. And then in Orlando, Florida, this kid died from an alligator eating him. And then this town wouldn't, no, this state wouldn't be found if Juan Ponce de Leon came and found the state. The Red Baron is the first airplane that flew. It was no protection, no Wi-Fi, no food, just an airplane. That's boring. And bye.
I can see now that Melissa is going to be, she's going to be in broadcasting.
How old is she?
She, how old are you, Melissa?
I'm nine.
Nine. You did good, Melissa. You sounded great.
All right. Very good. We must bring her in as a
youth
host.
thanks,
Melissa.
I can't get Emory, her dad, to say anything on the radio. He wants to say something,
Emory. A lot of you folks that were at the reunion last year, remember, Emory stood proud, even though he's not a citizen yet, he stood proud with the American flag when we said pledge your allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. And he did that and held the flag, and I was very proud of him, so... Emory, thanks a lot for your support for the Eastern Show, and he loves all the Eastern people. He also took all the pictures that we had, both video and also still pictures. So Emory's been a good support for the show. Thanks, Melissa. And thanks, Emory. Emory will be at the Emory's Embassy Suites next year. I don't have anything else, so... all I can say is we need to get this airplane back on the ground, Chuck.
All right. Eastern Flight 272, this is Miami Tower. You're clear to land on runway 27. The winds are light and variable from the west at 10 miles an hour, and the present temperature at the airport is 82 degrees.
Roger, Miami Tower. This is Eastern 272. We're cleared to land on 27 right.
Landing, Captain Steve. We had a great show tonight, folks. Mr. Producer, another outstanding job on the board. Even though we had a little phone problem, you solved that with just a flick of your wrist. You know, it's always fun when we talk about Eastern Airlines and the place where we worked. We feel that you're truly earned the title of the radio voice of Eastern Airlines. And it's all because of you, our callers, the listeners, the guests, the hosts and sponsors, REPA and Homestead Funding. We look forward to our Eastern family and friends joining us next week as we broadcast our 271st show, traveling aboard our Eastern radio show, Boeing 737. We hope you will be with us again as we file our flight plan for a destination yet be determined. Until then, we all say, good night, Eastern. We love you, Eastern.
We love you. Good night, Eastern.
Good night.
Good night, Eastern.
Good night.